Hi, friends. Thank you for joining us for another episode of Hello APGD, a neighborhood podcast about the Audubon Park Garden District in Orlando, Florida. I'm your host, Michael Lothrop, and my guest today is Kayla Wanish, certified professional coach at Warrior One, located at 3012 Corinne Drive, Orlando, Florida, in Audubon Park, as well as locations in Dunedin, Winter Garden, and soon Baldwin Park. Be sure to follow We Are Warrior One on Instagram and visit wearewarrior1.com to sign up for classes online. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, or if you'd like to be a sponsor, please feel free to message me on Instagram at HelloAPGDPod. Thank you for listening. Support for this episode comes from Neighbor Bread, a small batch sourdough home bakery made with excellence and integrity in Audubon Park. Visit neighborbreadorlando.com and sign up for the newsletter to get the latest on order scheduling and availability. With local delivery and pickup, it's as simple as that. No social media, just bread. This episode is also brought to you by Red Panda Noodle. Made fresh daily, these wheat-based Chinese-style noodles are pulled, sliced, and boiled to order. Find your favorite dish by following them on Facebook and Instagram at Red Panda Noodle. Plus, check out their website, redpandanoodle.com, for the latest on food truck pop-up dates and other news. And with me today is Kayla Wanish, certified professional coach at Warrior One. Kayla, welcome.
Thank you. It's so nice to be here and so nice to talk to you finally.
I'm so excited to have you on and to represent Warrior One and all the great things that you all are doing. Obviously, being in the news recently about the accident that happened there, or the crash, however you want to say it, a car went through the front of the yoga studio when it was closed.
Yeah.
Tell me about that. What's the latest? What's going on with that?
Yeah. So you captured it quite well. We were, we've taught our last set of classes in what we call the big room. So there's two studios within Warrior One. And so we have one padded side that's nice and cool. And then we have the other side with wooden floors, super hot. And usually holds about like 60 to 70 people. And on February 14th, around like 11:48, like right before midnight, we believe it was some sort of, we're not sure if it was a drunk driver. The story in my head is that someone just kind of barreled in.
Impaired in some way, because yeah, how do you do something like that, right?
Yeah. And thankfully, you know, whoever it was, they were safe. You know, they were able to leave the scene. But they, like, no one was injured. You know, none of our staff was injured. They weren't injured. I think they were able to find the person that crashed into the studio afterwards. And it left a huge hole in our front door.
That's still there.
Yeah. So it happened pretty quickly. And thankfully, I'm sure you know this from living around here, but this whole area, I guess, was a military base or a Navy base or something.
Yeah, over Baldwin Park was just completely all Navy. Mm-hmm. And actually, I think before that, even it was an Army base or an Air Force base. It changed at some point, but for the longest time, it was a Navy base. And then it was... Yeah, now it's a neighborhood.
Yeah. And I think that was in our benefit because the, what are they called? Like the civil engineer, whoever came down to inspect the space was like, well, thankfully these buildings are reinforced, you know, to land planes and helicopters on the top of them. And so there are steel beams throughout the studio that actually stopped the car from going all the way through to the back of the studio. Or he just would have apparently drove all the way through the back.
Wow.
So it's absolutely insane that all of those almost like serendipitous things were there. Like no one was injured, right? Yeah. It happened in the middle of the night. The building was able to be reinforced. So even though it was this terrible thing, you know, we were able to kind of open class and have class the very next day.
That's incredible. Yeah. I mean, who would have thought? And there was video footage of the accident. They had pulled in from Corinne Drive and just smashed right through. And I mean, what a freak thing to happen.
And it also looks like they were going like 10 miles an hour. It's like the craziest video. It's like they just slowly stroll in, destroy the studio, slowly reverse out and go on their way. And like, I'm like, no.
Maybe they meant to hit the brake and they were just having a bad time with it. I don't know. But the fact that they left is horrible. And it's good that they were found. And hopefully they can be liable for some of paying for
something.
Something, right? I mean, repercussions should be a thing in our society. That's kind of the agreement that we have. Mm-hmm. That you behave badly and there should be something that you compensate to.
A little slap.
Yeah, like I learned my lesson and I won't be doing that again. But I'm glad everybody is safe and I'm glad that everything is up and running. I mean, it, like I said, that really is incredible that you were able to proceed with business kind of as usual, right after the accidents, just people come in through the back rather than the front.
Yeah, we have little handwritten signs like, we're still open, come back here. And that's when I really saw the like beauty of the community. Like I already knew the Audubon community was super, you know, vibrant and strong and loved Warrior One. And then when that crash happened, I was like, oh, the studio actually has nothing to do with the four walls or, I don't know, eight walls, however many walls.
It's well beyond that, right?
It's well beyond. It's like a bubble that kind of captures most of Orlando. And we had other yoga studios donating money and helping us out, right? Like, quote unquote, competition. And they were like, hey, how can we help? And we had, I think it was OPY, Orlando Power Yoga, donated like an entire day of class proceeds to our studio. And
that
Project
is so
Seven
sweet.
Reached out. And, and it was just like, oh, there's a family here.
There's a lot of love in this town, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it is... It's a very special place. This neighborhood is very special to so many people, and it's why I have this podcast, because I want others to know about it. And, you know, if there's any piece of this that you can bring to your community, I mean, that's such a great lesson that it's like your quote unquote competitors, you know, there's enough to go around
there
and
is,
it's like being nice to people that are in the same industry as you, there's a lot of room for collaboration.
Mm-hmm.
And we all help each other. We all benefit when we help each other. And we're all in this together, right?
Yeah, as you were saying that, it reminded me of the idea of just like there's multiple currencies. Like there's like love is a currency, kindness is a currency, yoga is a currency. And so we were all able to like exchange kind of like the support and love for one another to just make sure that the studio didn't go away.
Right. Wow. What a sweet thing, right? I mean, it really is. Like I would love to be on a system where we don't have to use money at all, just exchange value for value. I realize that's totally not a realistic thing.
Right, totally utopian.
yeah, utopian indeed. But there are pieces of that that happen. It's like my wife runs the Monday night market at Stardust, and what you'll find there every single week is at the end of the night, the vendors, when they have some leftover product, they'll go around and see who wants to do a little bartering.
Right.
You know, because it's like, I don't need all of these cookies or cupcakes or, you know, I don't need all these blueberries. Like, I'm like full up, but I know others do.
Exactly.
And maybe I kind of want to get like a sampling of what is out there. That's just one example. But yeah, so getting into the yoga thing, tell me your background. How'd you find yoga?
Yeah, thank you. So I found yoga probably around 2017. It's actually when I was doing a lot of self-discovery, self-work. So like you mentioned at the beginning, I'm a coach now, but how that started was I started working for a coach. And so in working for a coach, I learned so much about myself, and I was in one of her workshops and she was asking me like, or the activity was something to the effect of like, what's something you've always wanted to do but you've never done? And I was like, oh, I really want to do yoga. Mm-hmm. You know, like it always sounds really exciting, but I can't really like afford, you know, go to a studio or yada yada. And so one of the men in my small group, he's like talking to me. He's like, yeah, how much is a month? And I remember telling him it was like 40 or 50 bucks at the time. And he's still talking to me, but he's like looking down at his phone and like, you know, texting a little. I'm like, oh, okay. And he ends up sending me the amount of the like monthly yoga fee to my Venmo. And that's when I realized, I was like, oh gosh, I'm still afraid to go. I'm still a little scared. And so I had the money, I had the story in my head that it was like only like money was the only thing stopping me from going to yoga. I was like, oh. And then when I had the money, I was like, oh, there's something, you know, going on here. Like I'm nervous. I don't want to go in there.
So, the money was just an easy, outright
easy.
An excuse.
I'm like, oh, I just don't, you know, I don't really have $40. And you know, I used that as a way to kind of grow myself and challenge myself because it opened up such a window. I'm like, wow, what else in my life am I saying? Like, I can't do it because of fill in the blank. And then fill in the blank shows up and I'm like, uh-oh, I'm still resistant. And so I started going to Orlando Power Yoga in around that time. And then I had a stint where I like traveled for a year. And when I came back home, I found Warrior One. And I think I went to two classes and I signed up for yoga teacher training. I was like, all right, I'm in.
That's so cool. I love that that's offered there. I'm not sure if that's a typical thing at yoga studios that you teach people to be teachers. But I love that, that's something that, you know, it branches out from here, right?
Yes, it's absolutely life-changing. Like, of course, it's called yoga teacher training, and it's leadership development. It's leadership training. It taught me how to stand up in the front of a room and use my voice, which historically was something I was so afraid to do. I didn't feel like maybe I had the right to stand up in a room and really take up space or make noise or say my thoughts. And I think yoga kind of provided that to me.
The confidence that, like, yeah, it's hard. Like, it's hard to know what is appropriate, you know? I mean, especially if you're an empath, you're very mindful of how your presence impacts others, you know, people who don't have that or people who kind of have tendencies towards narcissism, they're just blowing through life without thinking about their impact on other people, right? And it's maybe hard for somebody who doesn't have that high level of empathy to relate to that experience of just being like, what is appropriate for me? Can I be a leader? Like, why should people follow me? You know?
What is my idea of leadership? What does it mean to me to be in charge? What's my relationship with control? Like, all these things live underneath our subconscious too. And so when so much is underneath our subconscious, we'll just start like walking through life and be like, oh, I don't know, that just happened. And so it's really useful to look back into, you know, myself or ourselves, be like, why, you know, what's going on in there? It didn't just happen. You know, maybe there are choices that I contributed to.
Totally.
It's really nice.
Yeah, it is. It's fascinating to talk to somebody who has developed that leadership skill and found that in themselves. And what was that journey like? How long did it kind of take, or what were some of the things that happened along the way where you're like, oh, I do need to own this. This is something that, you know, I do belong in an instruction capacity.
Yeah. I love that question so much. I think for me, you know, going back to yoga teacher training, it was learning almost annoyingly so every single time, like, oh my goodness, I have to trust myself. Oh, look at that. I have to trust myself. And one of my favorite pieces of yoga, and I used to hate this cue when I first started going to yoga. It's like, how you are in your mat is how you are everywhere. I was like, oh. Cause I take it personally. I'm like, I drop my knees, you know, sometimes I take drink water and bow out of the pose.
You're only looking at the imperfections.
Yeah. I was
right?
only looking at like the wrong parts and I put that in air quotes, like the bad. And then I realized that was such a freedom because it meant if how I do everything, you know, how I am on my mat is how I do everything. That means everything I do on my mat is practice. For out there. And then when I'm in front of the room and when I'm teaching, all I'm doing is providing a container for other people to have those experiences and to be free. And so it started to become like shifting from, oh, I have to know so much, or I have to be so competent as a yoga teacher to be like good at it. And that wasn't true at all. All I had to do was look at the people in the room and see what they needed and speak to that. And so it completely shifted what I even thought it meant to lead a yoga class or to be a leader in general.
Wow. So there's such a component of just listening, right? Even if it's listening to body language, like you notice every little thing because it's relatable because of your empathy. And then you react accordingly. It's not just, they're not coming in just expecting you to have all the answers or just like be this one certain way and it has to be perfect, right? It's like, you're there, you're listening. They understand that you are paying attention to them and what they need that day. And and like you said, providing the container. That's such a beautiful way of saying it.
Yeah, thank you. I really think it's around, I like what you said too, around like listening. It's like, how can I listen to the body? And actually, I have yoga teacher trainees that end up mentoring my class. And for the first 4 weeks or so, I'm just like, just look at their bones. Look at their bones. Don't look at their bodies.
Yeah.
Look at their bones. Look, what are they doing? How is it moving? And that's what teaches you everything you need to know about yoga.
That's
it teaches
the foundation.
You to like listen. Yes.
Wow. Exactly. I love that. That simplifies it, right? Because there's so many other things to pay attention to.
Yeah.
But at, you know, at our core, there's this thing that kind of holds us all together.
Yeah.
And yeah, man, just all of these ideas and these just nuggets of wisdom. I'm so all about uncovering those things. Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing.
Of course. Yeah. Dusting it off.
Yeah.
What's in there?
Yes. We're like archaeologists of knowledge, right? Uh-huh. Yeah. You never know what you're going to find too. It's always something different. So the founder of Warrior One.
Yes.
Kim.
Yes.
I actually took classes from Kim when she was at the Y.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah. So I had a membership at the Downtown Y, and they have this beautiful upstairs space that's like open windows. And she was a very memorable instructor back then, you know, and I was so excited to hear that she was opening a studio in the neighborhood. And I see how it's grown, how it's changed. You know, it went from one space
to three.
Like,
and there's one in Tampa or Dunedin area.
Yeah.
Like there's a bunch of little warriors.
Is there's one in Windermere perhaps?
Oh yeah,
as
there's
well.
The Winter Garden one as well, yes. That's ran so by cool. Julie Sanchez, who's all of them, just
really?
Such amazing people.
Yeah, just growing and growing. And that's just a testament to her charisma and leadership and, you know, just running a successful business. It's like, it's not an easy thing, obviously. And, you know, finding those connectors, the love, I see so many people walking with their mats to class. And it's just like, it's one of the best things. I feel like that energy from people, yoga is so transformative. It really, really does. Kind of, it makes your life better in so many different ways. It's so healthy. It's great for your brain. Mm-hmm. It's just like the benefits, you can't even count them.
List them.
Right.
Yep.
Right. And so for people who don't know about yoga, what do you tell them about not being afraid to start?
Yeah, I think when I tell people I'm a yoga teacher, almost the first and only thing I ever hear is, oh, I'm not flexible.
Really?
Yeah. I'm not flexible. Uh-huh. And you know, I stole this line from Kim, but that's very similar to saying like, oh, I'm so hungry. I couldn't eat. You know, like, I'm so hungry. I just can't eat. And it's so if you're not flexible or if you don't feel like, you know how to do yoga, great. That's part of it. There's things I don't know too. I'll look at people next to me. I've been doing this for 6 years. And I'm like, how do I do that? And it's really a practice of getting curious with yourself, you know, getting curious about, you know, what could you do? It's not a should practice. It's a could practice. Like, oh, could I lift my leg higher? Could I stay in this pose for a few more seconds? Like, could I stop beating myself up in the middle of this class because it's already 90 degrees and I'm sweating profusely? Like, why also tack on being mean to myself or judging myself?
Totally.
And so I invite people to approach yoga with this lens of self-acceptance versus self-judgment, because there's so much judgment swimming around everywhere every day. So you don't have to be a part of that for yourself. If you don't want to. And if you could imagine, like, we all have that voice in our head. Does it make you crazy? You know, we all have that voice in our head. And if you could pull that voice out of your head and sit next to it, you know, is that voice someone you'd want to hang out with, someone you'd want to do yoga with, someone you'd want to go to coffee with? And if it's not, practice that. That's what yoga's for. It's for getting to know that person, because that person's you.
Yeah.
And that's who you have with you for the rest of your life. And we often don't, you know, talk to other people the way we talk to ourselves.
That's so true. Yeah. Yeah. And it, that self-talk, that inner voice, that sort of the narrative self, can really affect how you perceive the world, how you think the world perceives you, mm-hmm. and quieting that voice or tempering it or teaching it,
yeah.
you know, because it's like, it's there. It was taught by something in our experience.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have to listen to the bad ideas that it has, right? And we can quiet that voice and we can find our breath and get centered with it and then be like, no, actually, I can talk back to you and I can tell you some things. We can have a conversation and you can learn from me and I can learn from you and where the work needs to be done and that sort of thing.
I definitely think too, like, it's really useful to remember that that voice in our head, the one that tells you like, oh, you can't go to yoga, or oh, no, you can't do that, can't do this, don't try this new thing, you might embarrass yourself. That voice is purely trying to keep you safe. Your brain's primary job is to keep you alive. And so if it assumes any threat, even if it's like a non-threatening threat, mm-hmm. it's going to work to keep you safe. And so, you know, your role in that is seeing like, is this a true imminent danger, or am I just a little uncomfortable?
Right, exactly.
And that distinction can help you start moving towards healthy discomfort, like going into discomfort and knowing when to pull out. I mean, like, oh, okay, I tested my edges a little bit, but I didn't take it too far.
Yeah, I'm not going to hurt myself.
Exactly.
But I may push myself so that I'm a little bit sore tomorrow, mm-hmm. but that's okay, because that's part of the growth.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people don't know this about me, but yoga was my introduction to, you know, being healthy, to health. Mm. I grew up, you know, very low income family, you know, passed around through. I had grew up with my great grandparents and then my father and then back with my grandparents. There's a lot of in and out. And so like health wasn't the main thing on anybody's mind, or eating healthy or exercising. I didn't play sports growing up. And so even despite being 5'11", everyone's like, oh, did you play basketball? I'm like, no, I did not. So yoga was really the first time I was able to explore my body and really figure out, like I was saying earlier, like, what could I do? Whereas before, I just kind of told myself like anything in the fitness space obviously just wasn't for me, and it was a self-fulfilling prophecy. I was making it true, right?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, that's not for me, so I don't go do that, and then it continues to not be for me, and then so I don't do that, and it continues on a feedback loop.
Yeah, I think anything with exercise or fitness or, you know, activity in general, whatever you want to call it, it's like a body in motion stays in motion, mm-hmm. right? And like, it takes pushing yourself a little bit to get out and do the thing, and then you'll feel like doing the thing.
Yeah.
But you won't feel like doing the thing until you do it.
So it is. Yeah.
It's like, it starts with a mental mm-hmm. jump, right? Of like, okay, I'm being way too sedentary.
Yeah.
I don't feel good about it. Also, it's easy to stay at rest too, because you're just kind of like, well, I'm already here. I'm just going to stay on the couch.
Right.
But that's the worst answer usually.
Mm-hmm. And it feels like, and I'm not even going to be all like Pollyanna, like, oh, like once you start yoga, nothing is ever wrong in your life again. No, that's not true. Yeah. And, you know, I've gone through my own dips of, you know, being super, you know, going to yoga all of the time and feeling really good, and then having dips where I just can't make it there. And I think it's about being compassionate to yourself in both spaces, like being like, hey, okay, it's okay that you can't go today. And also realizing that's not something you have to do. It's
right.
something you get to do.
Yeah.
And even that alone, like, kind of switches it in my head. Like, oh, yeah, I get to go stretch my body. I get to go sweat out all my toxins. And I can feel so much different than being like, oh, I have to go work out. I have to go work out. So before dinner or blah, blah, blah. It's like all this unnecessary stress. It's like, no, I get to. I could.
Yeah. And that is motivating, just having that. It's not guilt that's bringing you,
mm-hmm.
right? It should be love.
Yes.
And those are the two main drivers, I think, of human existence. It's like, or three really, fear, guilt.
Yes.
And I mean, fear and guilt are very tied together, but they're rarely helpful. I mean, as you said, like, we are wired for survival,
mm-hmm.
and we think about like, what is the danger? Is this actually dangerous, or am I just avoiding being uncomfortable?
Mm-hmm.
And just figuring out like, what is that voice telling me and why?
And why?
Yeah. Yeah. And being understanding with it too. It's like, I don't need to mock it, because it's not that it's not keeping me safe, but it's informing me of something.
Mm-hmm.
It's informing me maybe of a fear.
Data.
It's data, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at all the data rather than just the one impulse, you might find that like, oh no, I am kind of drawn to this. This is maybe something that I'm thinking about a lot, and that's why I should pursue it. And even though I won't be the best at it at first, you know, there's progress to be made and growth, and just the experience of being in a room with other people that are on that same journey, that are also, you know, just working on themselves, both physically and mentally. There's such a power there.
Yes.
And like not fully understanding what that like means, where it comes from, we don't really know, but the energy exchange between people, I think, is just so, it's so overlooked by a lot of people, but there's nothing quite like it.
You're so right. There's so much that you just said that I love. And one thing, I love that you used the word, you know, drivers, and you mentioned like fear and guilt and love. And I actually describe it the same way, where I'm like, who's driving the car? Mm-hmm. Who are you letting drive the car?
Yeah, totally.
If you let fear drive the car, they will definitely get you there.
Yeah.
But that's going to be a chaotic ride. There's going to be a lot of braking, a lot of honking, a lot of swerving out of the way.
Yeah.
And it does, I'm not telling you to kick fear out of the car. Mm-hmm. I'm just telling you to like put it in the back seat.
Yeah.
And then let love drive the car. Mm-hmm. And you can take feedback from fear. You'd be like, oh, okay. All right, I hear that. You stay back there, though.
Yeah,
I'm going to keep driving over here and really let love, you know, drive that car. And when it comes to the piece that you said around community, I think what really stuck out to me specifically about Warrior One is I think it creates something that in the United States, I think sometimes we lack, which is like having another place outside of work and home to just be. Right? Like to like hang out or to see familiar faces and to connect.
Yeah.
And it's such a like, we're former hunters and gatherers, we're tribal beings. We're supposed to be in little groups and cohorts. And when our homes are so separated from each other, and when it's not within our, you know, culture per se to, you know, run around and make friends with our neighbors anymore, like that community piece can start to get disconnected. And I feel like, you know, the Baldwin and Audubon Park area somehow managed to keep, you know, it all intertwined. Like, nope, here are all the restaurants you can go to. Here's the yoga studio for you. You know, here's a beautiful park to walk in. And so the citizens here have more to just do than go to work and go home.
Right.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, as they say, third place.
Third place,
right?
Yeah.
That concept. I know. I think it's so important, and I do think that we're very rich in third place places in Audubon Park. You've got Red Light. Mm-hmm. You've got two really great
fourth place,
right? Yeah, same. You've got, you know, Stardust and Lobos Coffee. You've got Lineage Coffee. You've got all of East End Market. Mm-hmm. You know, the neighbors upstairs. Just all of these shops. I mean, just walking, you know, to Kelly's and seeing people enjoy ice cream, like sitting on the bench outside or sitting inside, like just all of these gathering places, these activities. Joybird is another one.
Yep.
They host a lot of community events. They're right next door to Warrior One.
Mm-hmm. Special shout out to Joybird, who opened up their doors for our students to pass through their shop. Come in through the back of our studio.
That is so sweet. Like, there's a door connecting? Is that what it is? Or is it?
It's like people are walking up to the front of the studio and they're like, what's going on? So the Joybird employees are like letting them into their shop to walk through to the back.
To the
so
alley.
They can get to the back alley. And
perfect.
I was just like, oh, my heart.
Oh, my gosh.
So check out Joybirds, y'all.
They are the sweetest, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just what an incredible shop, and just all the programming that they're doing. They're really kind of thinking about what people want, like what can we make available just to the community? And that's what makes this place so special.
Absolutely. Like,
there's so much thought that goes into that.
It really shone too. And so about a month after the crash, I put together with Danielle, the manager of Warrior One, we put together a crash bash. And I reached out, we were just kind of going around to everywhere on Audubon, and everyone was so generous. Like Kelly's gave us gift cards. Palmer's gave us gift cards. OECO gave us like a candle making experience, like all these wonderful donations that we were able to add to our silent auction. Lululemon threw some stuff in and it was just absolutely amazing to see. We ended up raising, I think it was around $10,000 just from the one night, and all of it was donations. And it was just like, oh boy. And then we taught like a 120 person class down at the church on Chelsea. I think it's the Audubon Church.
The Covenant Church.
Yes.
Yeah. Sarah Robinson is the pastor, and she is so one of the most incredible people on earth.
Yeah, I felt very welcome there. It felt like the churches, like the warrior one of churches. I was like, oh my gosh, I love it here. Yes. It felt very welcoming, and they were just so kind, and everyone, like love was just pouring in from everywhere. It was like, my heart was so full. I was like, wow.
That's a very big yoga class. That's so cool.
Very cool. It was great. We were like, can we fit? I was like, we could probably fit like 60 mats. And they're like, 120 people showed up. I was like, oh, good. This is the Warrior One problem. We're always mat to mat.
Yeah. I love that. And how much people want to be involved. And, you know, you think of creative ways of helping out. It's like, yeah, donating gift cards and things like that. It's like all of these small businesses, they have a big responsibility, you know, to make the business work, to pay everybody well, to keep attracting customers. You know, OECO has been such a great part of this community. And I always give a shout out to them because they're always promoting other people here. Yes. Such a great, like, important mission of the work that they do. Alyssa was on the podcast. She's just an incredible person.
She's so incredible.
So cool. And we're very lucky. You know, that's the thing. It's like these things don't happen in a bubble or a vacuum. Like, these all require community support.
Yes.
And just understanding what that takes. It's like figuring out, how can I be supportive?
Yeah.
You know, and whether it's like volunteering or, you know, donating things or being a customer, all of these things are helpful.
Yeah.
And sometimes it just requires asking too. You know, it's like, hey, how can I help? Yeah. Is there anything that's needed? Can I, you know, do whatever? If you don't have the money to do it, there's other ways. There's always other ways. So just, there's so much room for creativity and so much room for community, and it is all happening here.
Yes.
And yeah, it's pulsing, right? And it, like, every podcast episode for this show has really been a revelation of those things, of just like, oh, this goes so much deeper than I realized. Mm-hmm. You know, you just mentioning the Covenant Church, it's like, that's awesome. I didn't realize that. And like, that's another third place for so many people and so many activities. And it doesn't have to just be about religion or one specific thing. Like, it's such a magical building and such a magical property. And, you know, Fleet Farming kind of got started there. You know, it's like just these things of like, it just requires that container, you know, just like you said, just like make the venue and the things will develop from it, right?
Yeah, and that you can attract it in, you know? It's like the whole your vibe attracts your tribe quote. It's
I love it, yeah.
It's like, oh yeah, whatever you radiate out is going to come right back in. And that's been another lesson I've learned from yoga, is just like I call them the invisible force fields. You know that feeling when someone walks into a room and you can tell that someone's walked into a room?
Yes.
Like, we all have these kind of force fields. And so it's like, what am I leading with? What am I walking out in the world with? And I try as often as possible to genuine, not like a forced, you know, fake facade, like a genuine ball of love and light as I walk around. Cause I feel like it helps people feel seen, because you're shining a light on them. But then it also helps people see me. It helps them see you.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is the first time that we've met, and I'm just like, I'm like bummed that we haven't known each other more. You know what I mean?
How have we not known each other for years?
I know. I'm so grateful to know you now. It's like, that's the thing. When we sit down and we make the venue for something, you know, I've talked to a lot of people on this podcast for the very first time. And that's one of my favorite things, is like, you know, highlighting friends, obviously, that I already know they're doing cool stuff, but then like meeting brand new people and just, you know, we get to know each other now.
Yeah.
And like, it's just a very special thing, the connection that happens in this community with the different things that we're into and the things that we bring to the table. And it can evolve over time too. You know, Yeah. It's like, I have a lot of hobbies, and we played a show. I have a band.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. And like, we played a show at Stardust, and it's like, a lot of people didn't even know that I was into music. You know what I mean? I've been doing it my whole life, but not actively practicing it.
Mm-hmm.
And then to be able to like host a show, and you know, we played two sets, so it was like the whole night was about like the band, and it was like a lot of pressure to do really well and like Yeah. Put on a good show for people. But we only do it for fun, you know. It was a free show. We're not doing it for money. We're not looking to get famous. You know, we're playing cover songs, but they're songs that we adore.
Yeah, that you love.
Yeah, and like this is just like it's this love of community, this love of one another, and bringing other people into it and sharing it.
Yeah, I love what you said. It's just doing it to do it, doing it because it's fun, not because you have to or you should or you, no, just because I want to.
That's where it should start, right? Mm-hmm. It shouldn't be forced. It shouldn't be like, oh, I can make a lot of money off of this.
Exactly.
You know, those are the ideas that, yeah, maybe it will make a lot of money, but that shouldn't be the purpose. Like I always think of Steve from Gideon's, because he's an incredible person, and I met him for the first time on the podcast, but he has baked his whole life, like since he was a child.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and so he's been developing his cookie recipes, forever. And like, he's a musician, he's an artist. He just has this mind, this creative mind that can't be turned off. You know what I mean? It's like, this is somewhere to put his creativity, to put that love.
Yeah, to funnel all that love.
Totally.
Yeah.
And it's like, even though he's grown to Disney Springs and like...
It's amazing. That line is always wrapped around like
wild.
Four times over.
I mean, who waits hours for cookies? That's a special cookie.
It's a special, yeah.
You know?
And it probably has so much more to do with the love that's in the cookie than the cookie.
Yes.
Like the cookie, wait, the cookies are great. Sorry,
yes, they
the
are.
Cookies are fantastic.
I mean,
and
everybody
knows.
And
there's love in those cookies.
There's magic. There is the legend behind it. Like, people that travel here know about Gideon's. It's
Yeah.
like they're world famous, literally. And they're started right here in East End Market, right across the street from where we are right now.
I love that so much.
Yeah. Like, those kinds of stories are pretty rare in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But those are kind of the most special stories that, you know, you want other people to believe that they can do something like that.
Right.
If they do it the right way, and it's like, you know, Steve's still in charge of the recipes and they don't cut corners, and that shows through, you know?
You're absolutely right. I think there's like a little pocket here of just like, how did we get Kelly's, Gideon's, Domu?
Like,
how do you get it all in one spot?
Like Cadence, like these like
yes.
Michelin star places that are just, I mean, Cadence.
Just like no big deal.
No big deal. Cadence has no signage whatsoever. It's a black building across from Stardust that you wouldn't know is there.
Yeah.
But they're like also world famous. I mean, this is a really exciting place. The fact that people stick around and
for years.
Yeah. And they're just like, I mean, Steve from Gideon's, he's like, I'm never leaving East End.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no matter what, like I could do so much more with bigger space and all these things, but it's like, I found a way to make it work. Like, we expanded to Disney, so we're doing just fine.
Yeah,
we're good.
We're good.
When you have something special and you're doing it authentically.
Authenticity is like this knife that can cut through anything. It's
right.
Like, oh, that person's real. I'm going to go over there. I can see them. I love that.
Yeah. You want in on that action,
mm-hmm.
right? It is really, there's so little of it these days
yes.
in the world, in this kind of commodity, mass production,
mm-hmm.
capitalistic way of thinking. It's like, no, you can do something on a smaller scale, make it really special, make a living off of it,
mm-hmm.
which is important. It's crucial.
Yeah.
We all have to find the time to do these things, and our time is limited. So, yeah, what's the best way?
Your time is valuable.
It's very valuable.
It doesn't mean that it needs to be like always a take, take, take. It should always be an exchange.
Yeah. Yeah. Making time for things that, that really do matter and that make a difference. And I don't know, it can be life changing once, once you find that.
I was joking with Hillary. I don't know if you've met her. She hangs out around Owl's Attic. She has a, she like restores vintage clothes and adds like really beautiful tassels. I think her clothing brand, she's changed its House of Diamondbacks now. And we were joking, like the same $20 just floats around to every single business in this quarter.
That's so
it's
true.
You go to her, you buy a shirt, she takes that, she goes and grabs a coffee. The person that got the coffee goes over and gets some cheese. And then the person that got cheese goes over and gets a cookie from Gideon's. It's just like that same $20 just kind of pinballs all around Audubon until it finally leaves.
That's beautiful. I love that. And it's so true too. It really, just about everything that you could need is here.
Oh, right here. Go to the record store, get some beers.
Totally.
Go down to Baldwin, run around the lake. Like everything you need is right here.
I know. We're very, very fortunate. And this is for everybody too. Mm-hmm. You know, like it's not just for the people that live here. It's really, I mean, the events that we host in the neighborhood, they bring people from all over.
Yes.
A lot of times they're in the neighborhood for the very first time.
Mm-hmm.
Like they heard about something and they want to check it out. And then they're like, oh wow, I didn't know this was here. We're kind of tucked away. You know, if you're not cutting through from Colonial to Mills in that way.
We're a little secret pocket.
We're a secret pocket. And it's, you know, the secret is out there.
Mm-hmm.
But we continue to put the word out.
Yeah, and it's really from that intrinsic place again. It's just like they're finding out about it because people are having such joyful experiences in this area. And like I returned this area so many times before I found Warrior One, and then it's just like, oh, okay, everything's over here. Great. And it's like when I was super young, I always used to come over here to go to the record stores. I thought it was the coolest thing ever. And then
Park Ave CDs is just
go to
amazing.
Park Ave, and then I would, you know, pop around, I found like the Salty. I'm like, oh cool. And then it's just like it just keeps coming. I'm like, oh, this is the area.
Yeah, it keeps getting better and better. We have an Italian restaurant opening soon.
Oh,
yeah.
Is that where
Bembom was there formerly? Yeah, I know.
I'm still getting over 3B. I wasn't ready for Bembom.
I know. Bikes, Beans, and Bordeaux
was
such an important place.
I think I was keeping them alive for a while just by getting a salad and a smoothie every day. So I was in there. I was trying to help.
What a healthy way to feed yourself. And yeah, what a great space. And Coro is opening up there, which is going to be amazing. They've had some hurdles with construction, but they're like so ready to go. They did like a preview pop-up in Winter Park.
Did you get to make it?
Farm and House, we did. And it was one of the best meals of my entire life. Like, not even exaggerating. Gabby and I were just every single course. It's like, I can't wait for this to be here, like available. Like, he's doing something on a whole other level.
Mm-hmm.
The chef, Tim Lavero. Yeah, he was on the podcast as well. And we go way back. Tim actually was one of the caterers at our wedding. So he was one of the chefs with the catering team at our wedding. So
that's beautiful.
Yeah, just all of these ways that we're connected. And, you know, he's so excited to be opening up shop in Audubon Park as well. So he's just going to be right down from Warrior One also.
Nice.
Yeah, it just keeps growing and changing for the better. And people are sticking around and branching out where they can. And yeah, it just... It's a great place to be.
It really is.
Yeah.
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 Big in love with this place.
I'm so glad. Yeah. Same. And it's important to have those cheerleaders and those people who are vocal about what they love. You know, there's a shortage of that these days because it's easy to complain about the things that are bad.
Oh,
and
it's so easy.
There's a lot of atrocities, and it's not that we're overlooking those things, but we can't let that take over the narrative either.
Exactly. It's like where your attention goes is where the energy flows, right? If I am telling myself that I am living in a terrible world, my brain is going to constantly look for evidence that that is true.
Yes. And there's no shortage of evidence.
Yeah, there's no shortage of evidence. You could find a way to, like, you can find a very easy way to be miserable. And the same is true. Like, if I tell myself that, you know, love is possible, belonging is possible, connection is possible, community is possible, my brain will let me see evidence that that is true.
Yeah.
And so it is not that, like you're saying, it's not that I'm ignoring the bad. It's just that I'm also letting the good in. Because it, come on, we're only alive for a limited amount of time. We're a finite resource. We have to have a little bit of fun, a little bit of joy and ease in this journey.
And that's what we reflect into the world too. Mm-hmm. So if every single person is thinking about how unfair and how, you know, the awful things, if you're just focusing on the awful things that are happening, it's like, you're not actually doing anything to change those awful things.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's such a complicated thing. Like you have to, like you said, you have to manage your time appropriately. Mm-hmm.
And energy.
Like we are a limited resource.
Yeah.
And it, you know, what we bring to the world is those are the things that can actually change the world.
Mm-hmm.
And it really reflects like when we act, not just, it's not, we get caught up in what is in our minds, but it's like, no, like put yourself out there, like do some things, help, find ways of helping and making a difference. And it just, it makes you feel so good. And just connecting with people is helpful, you know, just like make somebody's day better somehow.
Smile at them. Make direct eye contact with someone today.
Start there.
Start small.
You know, start super small. Go to a yoga class at Warrior One. Like, learn what, you know, what makes it so magical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Find out.
I think what's really fun, and even to tie it back to yoga, is I'm not even trying to be like a stereotypical yoga teacher by being like, you know, going to yoga makes the world a better place. And it does, because every drop of sweat or ounce of stress that's released, like all of that, it's like a small drip in the ocean of making it better, right? Because that's, that release stress is one less person you snap at the road. It's one less, you know, argument you might get in with your significant other. It's one less comment that you might just knee-jerk reaction make that could actually cause her harm or hurt someone. It's less instances of those. And so, yeah, by coming to yoga, you actually do start to make the world a better place, because you're just you're giving your stress a playground and you're teaching your body what to do when it's under stress. And I notice it for myself now, being like 6 or 7 years into this, like when I get really stressed out, say at work or in traffic, I can feel my body doing the things that I learned in yoga. I take the deepest breath of my life. It's like, and I start to, like, if I'm driving, like I'll set my gaze and just breathe through my nose. And I'm like, oh, that's a immediate response that I'm getting because I've been practicing yoga. And I used to have, like, y'all, the worst road rage. I was yelling at everyone. I was like, yeah, these people are so stupid. And then just through one, my own self-awareness discovery, and yoga, it's really kind of lessened those triggers, if you will, or softened that. I was joking about this in class today. It like uninstalls the buttons.
Wow.
You know, just because someone pressed your button doesn't mean they installed it. So you got to do the work to uninstall your buttons.
I love that. And these resets for our minds, I mean, that's such a profound way of looking at it too, of just this is helping the entire community. The people that get peace of mind from yoga, they're bringing that to the community. Mm-hmm. So you're interacting with people who are far less stressed out than they would be if this was not available to them, you
exactly.
know?
You're like, wow, that person smiled at me.
Yeah.
It says micro moments.
Yeah.
It says little things.
I've never seen an angry person with a yoga mat walking to or from yoga class. Like there's a connection there, right?
Yeah.
That's a real thing.
It ripples out.
It does. And, you know, we can often feel very powerless to change anything in the world.
Yeah.
And I think that changing that narrative and knowing that you can have an impact.
Mm-hmm.
And even if it's a small one, there can be a ripple effect that, you know, that person that you smiled at, made eye contact with, that might change their day and they might find a way to do something really big.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, maybe they wouldn't have done that had you not interacted with them in that way.
Exactly.
You know, maybe they were at like a breaking point and they're like, no, just forget it. I'm moving out of Florida or something, you know? I think that Florida is an especially challenging landscape.
Mm-hmm.
you know, politically and otherwise. And it like, there's so many of the people that are counter to what the narrative is and what you'll read in the news.
Yes.
And we can't be drowned out by what people are reading in the news. That is not representative of actual Florida.
Right.
That is a minority of thought.
Right.
And it is the most toxic of thought. And the only way to combat that is to vote, to make your voices heard.
Absolutely.
And to do good things and reflect like what actually we want here. Mm-hmm. This is how we want our lives to be.
Yeah.
And we want to be good to one another. We don't want to have a fascist society.
Right.
To go
at a minimum.
Straight to the point, you know. just some of the levels of control that are happening it's very dangerous, and it's, you know, we see that it's happening. Luckily, we have really great local government here.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the city of Orlando, we're doing really, really well, I think, with our representation and the way that leadership actually listens to the community.
Right.
And the way things are run here. Like that's sort of the draw. It's like, yes, like Tallahassee is a real shit show, but
it's also real far.
It's real far.
And it's, don't let them,
it's a very big state too. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, if you're just moving out of Florida because that narrative is just, it feels like it's killing you.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to change things, and we can change things.
Absolutely.
With every election, we can change things. And even the people that are running now, I mean, I had Representative Anna Eskamani on here.
Amazing.
And she does amazing things. She makes her voice heard. She's
mm-hmm.
such a bold, brave person. And I'm sorry I went on this political.
No, I love it.
But
people got to know.
People got to know. Yeah, that's sort of the thing. It's like this podcast is very much like a utopia of like of perfect things, and I try to rein in anything that can be negative because there's plenty of that out there. But
mm-hmm.
sometimes I do like to just acknowledge, like, hey, we realize that we're in Florida.
Yeah,
we realize the problems. And the only way that we're going to change those problems is by changing how people think about things.
Right.
The opportunities come, I think, from just providing the container.
Exactly. Absolutely. And I think, too, it's a lot of that hatred that you're speaking of really does get broken apart with community. It's almost impossible to exist, because then once you start talking to your neighbor, you know,
mm-hmm.
and then you start to realize, oh, wait, you're human just like me?
Yeah. What was I actually afraid of?
What yeah. am I afraid of?
Yeah.
Right. And it's fear, not to even minimize it. It's just fear.
True.
And when I see a lot of what's going on in the news and what's going on in Florida, it's so obvious to me that it's fear based.
Yes.
It's like
they're capitalizing on
They're capitalizing on fear.
Uh-huh.
And it is profitable.
It is.
But it can be like permeated through. And I think too, just about the only thing that we can ever expect is change.
Yeah.
Right? It's when we get rigid and think that things need to stay the same or should stay the same or should stay in this like box in which I haven't even observed what I'm saying should be in the box.
Like, right.
The only constant is going to be change. And that's why like learning how to love yourself in the face of uncertainty, in the face of fear, in the face of change is one of the most powerful things you can do for yourself. Because then you stop taking what's going on externally as a personal attack. And
yeah.
it just becomes what is happening.
Yeah.
And you get to choose what you do inside of what is happening.
It's such a good way of looking at it, because of course this massive change is happening. We have these pocket computers that tell us everything all the time. You know, they
right.
give us access to all of this information that humankind did not previously have.
No, it's a very new problem.
It's a very new problem. And so we have to give ourselves grace.
Mm.
Of course humanity is at this feeling of crisis, like such a great change. Chaos is going to kind of follow,
of
right? So it's like until the dust settles, this is just going to be kicking up more dust.
Right.
And it's what we do with the dust and what we do with our time while we're in it and help like pull people through to the other side. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, hey, we're all just trying to navigate this life.
We're on the same team.
We're all on the same
team. It doesn't have to be this us versus them. It's like me versus you. It's just like, maybe it's like all of us against the problem.
It's really true. I mean, it's hard for people sometimes to even agree on what the problem is.
Oh, yeah. First step.
Yeah.
What are we arguing about?
Right. It's like, yeah, this has been a very philosophical conversation.
Get me in front of a microphone. Here I go.
Same. Sometimes it's just the right thing. I think that it really does apply to yoga because there's such an element of discovery. There's such an element of when you find your breath and when you find how yoga massages your organs as you're doing it.
It
changes so many things about your physique and and that just like translates into your brain as well. And absolutely. It's just like for anybody that hasn't experienced it, I absolutely urge you to find your local yoga studio or, you know, drive a little bit to Warrior One and find out what that magic is.
Yeah, and even yoga, the word, it means to yoke, which means to come together. It actually has nothing to do with the poses. It's funny. The poses get people into the door, right? But
yeah.
Yoga is so much more than, you know, a warrior two. Yoga is how you treat yourself in warrior two. That's right. What yoga is. And you get to practice yoga, whether you're physically doing asanas, the poses, whether you're physically doing the poses or not, like life is yoga. Life is coming together, whether it's the coming together of body and breath and mind or the coming together of you and your community or the coming together of just you and your mat, it's you coming together. And that's the only criteria. That's all you have to do is show up.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
And breathe.
Yeah. And like find that openness too, right? Like you said, it's that getting past whatever your fear is, letting love drive. I mean, that's the thing. No matter where you're going, if love is driving, you're always going to get to a good place, you know? And that's the thing. It's like you don't have to know the destination every time.
No.
And you don't
the
always...
The destination's going to change on your way there.
It's going to change, right?
You're going to add a McDonald's in. You're going to, like, you know, there's going to be different
things. The path
things.
That you take, you know? You'll cut through Audubon Park from Colonial to go to Mills. And then if love is driving, you'll stop and get a Gideon's cookie and you'll do some yoga and get some coffee in the neighborhood.
And
right?
You'll have a good time.
Yeah. I mean, every time it's the joy that happens in this neighborhood too. I love walking along the plazas, you know, where Warrior One is and where Red Light is and all the places in between, Park FCDs, the lovely Dear Prudence, like just all of these like microcosms of joy that you can experience.
Oh yeah.
And
I could talk about the lovely for another whole hour if you need me to.
Oh my gosh, right? I know. Let's talk about the lovely for a minute. So many different things happen in the lovely and all of them are great. And it's a perfect name because it is so lovely.
Genuinely lovely.
Yeah, like Kim and everybody that works there. Another Kim, you know.
Another Kim.
Yeah, yeah.
Kim on Kim.
Yeah, yeah. Tell me about working with Kim. What is we're hoping to schedule it and have Kim on here as well.
Yeah.
But yeah.
No, Kim has been one of just one of my biggest inspirations since the moment I've met her. You know, you even talked about meeting her at the Y all those years back, and she speaks to that in yoga teacher training on, you know, what made her working at the Y successful. And that's why at Warrior One, we're both a teaching studio. So like you mentioned earlier, we teach people how to teach yoga and we give assist, and the assist are optional, but the assist aren't corrections, aren't fixes. They're us coming around and seeing you, seeing your bones, seeing your body, and figuring out a way to get you deeper into the pose. And she said the first time she started doing that, her Y classes started doubling, tripling, quadrupling, where like the Y was packed out to the point like it was, she was only left to open her own studio. Like it was the next best option.
Wow.
And I think, you know, she was a school teacher for 25 years and just was like, this is not the way you learn. Like, we call it the drift. Like, it is causing people to enter these drifts that they might never look into their stream and be like, how did I get here? What am I doing? It's just like you're on repeat, or you're on your own cycle, and you never go to break it. And that's why Warrior One exists. We're here to disrupt the drift. We want to make you a little uncomfortable. We want to see what happens when you wobble in a pose. We want to get you to a point that maybe you fall out of the pose a little bit, just so you can come back in. And I think I got so much from learning from Kim and from being with her directly. And I went through yoga teacher training actually in January of 2020. And so our first 3 months were in person and like all very connected. Yeah. And then
what an exciting time until it wasn't,
until
right?
It wasn't, yeah. And I remember having this feeling. I was like, if I don't sign up for yoga teacher training right now, I don't think I ever will. And I didn't know, obviously, no one, we all didn't know what was about to happen.
Yeah.
And so what was before yoga teacher training turned into online group therapy from March all the way until we graduated, which was around like August, October, that kind of area.
And at the time, it felt like it might be forever.
We had no idea.
Right.
All my training actually was online. And when we ended up opening up the studio, like my first classes had a limit of 6 people. Like I just had a completely different experience as so many of the training teachers before us. And speaking of holding a container, like Kim held such a container for us. And as a small business owner, like I know for someone who works for a small business, actually 2 small businesses, it's so hard.
Yeah.
There's nothing like being a small business. It's like having all these kids, but the kids are W-2s. And you're like, oh, I have to pay for all of this. And I didn't know this economic crash was going to happen or this COVID was going to happen. And so it was really amazing to see how just in a, we've never closed, right? In a heartbeat, we were able to shift all classes to Zoom and have Kim hold this huge container for us to still learn and to still be teachers and to keep her business going and the community going, even though for 11, 12 months, we had to keep it going, you know, outside of the room.
Yeah, yeah. And luckily, that's one of the things that technology brings us, right? Mm-hmm. It's like we found a way using this tool, ironically, that separates a lot of people, you know, and like puts people farther in their kind of zone of, you know, creating their own bubble there of information. But it also creates this avenue for connecting. I mean, these like something that it requires video for to see, you know, the poses and all of those things. So it's always a mix, right? It's always a mix of what it brings.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And Kim and Danielle. So Danielle, who's also the manager, has been my mentor for, I think technically I was only supposed to mentor for like 4 or 6 months. I've been going on like year 3. I'm like, yeah, I'll still show up.
You clearly have a knack for it.
Yeah,
right?
I'm like, I like hanging out here. Uh-huh. But they have both pushed and challenged me to become the leader I am today. And, yeah, and they would say that, you know, I pushed and challenged myself. But I wouldn't have been able to even challenge myself in that way without both of their support. So Warrior One means so much to me. Every time I walk through it, I'm just like, It's like I just feel like this warmness overcome me, or I'm like, okay, even with the wall, you know, broken, even with like all this, the bench that used to be outside of Warrior One,
it flew
into the back of the studio. Like, it's like a little like punch in the heart. But even being in there, it's like I can like feel all the people who have ever practiced on that floor. You can kind of like feel that energy coming out. And so I'm excited to eventually bring that to our new space as it opens, because the structural damage is going to be a little too hard to overcome in the current space, which is a little heartbreaking.
Yeah. So tell me about that. How is it configured now? There's part of the building that's not able to be used. Is that correct?
Okay. So our lobby where y'all would have been able to enter previously, completely gone. And then the hot room, which is where you would have had a lot of the hot power classes where that beautiful goddess painting is. Those two rooms have been inaccessible. You can't get in there. There's, you know, insulation and stuff everywhere. Thankfully, like I mentioned earlier with the steel beam, it protected our cool studio. Mm. And so the cool studio is our entire studio right now. It's unfortunately our smallest space. Yeah. And the community has been hyper patient with us and understanding, like, we know you didn't choose this, like this, yeah. this happened. And we've only been able to like stay occupied at about a 30% capacity just because we used to have two studios and now we have one and a half kind of. Yeah. And so really seeing like people pile in and give each other space and give each other areas to take up this now smaller space.
Sure.
When, you know, it was packed even in the bigger room, and now it's like, okay, we can only fit 35 people in here, so let's create as much space as possible for these 35 people.
I mean, what a unique story you get to tell, the fact that, you know, you started learning right before a pandemic started, so you had to shift, right? And then like this crash into the building and you had to shift. Mm-hmm. And that, I mean, what a lesson on life too.
Yeah. Right?
It's just like, it doesn't hand you the ideal circumstances every
That'd
time.
Be so boring.
Right. I mean, it wouldn't be a great story.
Wouldn't be a great story.
I know. What would we talk about on this podcast? Nothing. We just like sit here and stare and be like,
and smile.
How was your day? Cool. Okay.
Yeah. One of my favorite Warrior One shirts is shift happens.
Yes. I do love that.
Shift happens all the time.
Yeah. It's true. And it's, it'll never not be true, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, as long as there is life, there is change.
Yeah.
And this, we don't think about how this is temporary. Like we think about, I mean, I was thinking about tattoos and it's like, tattoos aren't permanent.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean? They're only permanent for the time that we're here.
I'm here.
Right?
Yeah, it's like, and then it's gone.
Yeah. It's like, it's kind of a morbid thought, but like, it's true. Like mm-hmm. we think of ourselves as like, oh, we're going to be around. It's like, you're not, but
not
that's
so
okay.
Much.
That's okay too. You know, it's like, it's what you do with the time that you are here.
Yes.
And, that's what we do. That's what we bring to it. And yeah, again, yoga brings you to that. Mm-hmm. This is where I'm supposed to be. And I mean, would you ever regret a yoga session?
No, you know, the only time I would regret a yoga session is if I didn't listen to myself.
Mm.
And then it goes back to the trusting myself. And the only times I've ever left a class like, it was entirely my own doing.
And that was maybe the lesson too, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, oh, that is informing me of something.
Mm-hmm. How am I contributing to this? Like, you know, did I overwork myself because I was beating myself up because I thought I should do so? Like the second I'm in that should space again, then I'm doing myself damage. So the only times I've ever really been like, I've always been my own doing.
Yeah.
It's never the teacher's fault. It's never the studio's fault. It's not my mat's fault. It's not the lighting in the room, the fact that the heat's on. It has something to do with what's going on with me. And that's what just makes it this beautiful playground. It's all about the journey. There's no perfect yoga pose, despite what like Instagram's showing you. Like there's no perfect yoga pose. There's right. There's no one way to do anything. And so it's so much more about the journey, the drive, the whatever word you use to describe it. It has very little to do with the destination because we don't even really know what the destination is.
We don't. And letting go of that should, like you said, like that's the guilt, right? That's the mm-hmm. thing that's telling us, oh, you know, if I don't do this, then I'm off track or
I'm a failure.
Like just
I'm a bad fill in the blank.
Yeah. Any of that self-talk that kind of defeats us.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's not very helpful.
It's counterproductive to our growth. Like it's like,
yeah.
Okay. Then fine. If I can't get any better at this, then I won't try.
Right. Yeah.
Your brain's going to listen to you.
Yeah. I feel like we're handed so much of that growing up and it just part of our, you know, mission in life, I think, is to deprogram what we've been handed and learn why it doesn't fit too, you know, and what does fit and why. And it's going to differ from the next person and that's okay too.
Disrupt the drip.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I mean, these communal things that even though we might view yoga all differently in the room, like slightly, mm-hmm. we're brought together by this idea, right?
And by the idea of bettering ourselves or mm-hmm. being there for ourselves in some capacity,
yes.
somewhere on that spectrum. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. People only, I think, go to yoga because of the love that they have for themselves, the love that they're seeking, that communal love, like just being in a place where other people love themselves and yeah. are like practicing this thing. It's like an act of self-love. Like, that's so beautiful.
Every drop of sweat, I say, is an act of self-love. Mm-hmm. Every breath, every moment you're in the class, every time you get in your car to go to the studio.
Yeah.
But we like to say that's the hardest pose. It really is the hardest pose. It's getting out of your bed or off your couch, getting sure. in the car, mm-hmm. driving 10, 15, 20 minutes, parking said car, getting into the studio. That's the hardest yoga pose there is.
Yeah.
And then once you've done that, you've done it. You're there.
You know? Yes. That's great. I really dig that. That's so good. So the evolution of Warrior One, obviously there was like some spin classes.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so how has that kind of gone? I know some of that probably was before your time of coming to the studio, but just so people have sort of that background of you know, where it started, what it became, how it's changed, like again,
yeah.
that shift, right?
Yeah. And so, you know, Warrior One is always shifting and also trying to like respond to what it is that people want. And so I don't know if you've ever heard the story of Barbara Jean, but that was Kim's mother. And, you know, when Kim was growing up, her mother was very tall. And by the time she passed away, I believe she like had shrunk back down to like 5'5 or 5'7, if I'm remembering correctly. And so Kim felt this responsibility to help repair bone density. Like, obviously, yoga is very helpful, but we weren't doing, I think at the time, anything more dynamic with, you know, weight training or cardio training. And so she wanted to figure out a way to strengthen the entire body. And so the first iteration of that was having like a full spin side. So over closer to red light, when we used to have that other studio that was mostly spin and row. And then once we decided to condense the studios down, mostly because the, you know, ceiling caved in. It's like Warrior One just getting always slapped left to right. And so when we moved over to just be at 3012, we decided to start introducing these like circuit training classes. And so we had a more dynamic way of working out the entire body in the same way that yoga works out the entire body. Mm-hmm. We don't ever want to put people in a situation where they're doing the same rep over and over and over again. And so, you know, we've grown from just having spin classes, to just having row classes, to combining the two, to having like hip hop versions of the class, to having that turn into the circuit training. And so it's always an evolution of like, once again, like, oh, what could work? What could go here? Even the murals in the wall, we laugh. Like Kim opened up the studio and she's like, oh, I don't know any painters. Like, I don't know how to paint. So she started painting the walls. She wasn't going to let like not being perfect at painting stop her from painting her studio. She's like, oh man, I'm going to figure this out.
I love it.
Paint the walls Key Largo blue and see what happens. And it just grew from there. So I think it's really a representation of how Warrior One is always willing to grow, is always willing to adapt to what the external environment is throwing at it. And, you know, not even just for Warrior One, for all organizations, like success really depends on the ability to adapt faster than the external environment. Mm. And so basically all we know is that change is going to happen at some point.
Yeah.
So got to be adaptable, must be flexible. And the kinder you can be to yourself on the way there is going to be a contributor of your success.
Yeah. And even part of that adaptation might just be like starting with an openness to mm-hmm. it, right? It's like
step one.
Yeah.
Be open.
Yeah. Yeah. So even if you're not like a step ahead of the external changes, it's like, well, an external change might happen. I mean, COVID happened,
yeah.
You know, the entire shutdown happened and nobody could have anticipated that.
We had no idea.
No clue. And, you know, with a practice like a yoga studio, that's one of the hardest hits, right? Because mm-hmm. it's like, well, are we losing clientele because they're not coming in? You know, are they just going to find that like a YouTube channel is going to suffice for their needs?
Right.
But then ultimately, you know, when things open back up, it's like, there is nothing like being in the room with an instructor, mm-hmm. you know, getting those adjustments,
being seen,
you know, sharing that energy, sharing that experience. It makes you feel more capable.
Yeah.
You know, right? Yeah. Like that's part of the lesson that I get every time I go to yoga is just like, you see what other people are doing. And it's not, you know, I don't feel bad about comparing myself to somebody who may be more flexible or stronger or, you know, doing a pose where I'm like, oh, they're doing it 100%. I'm doing it like 65%.
Yeah,
like,
my score sheet, right?
Yeah. Like I'm not keeping score. Mm-hmm. You know, I may be aware of like, oh, wow, they're really doing it.
Yeah,
they must feel
it.
Great about that. But it doesn't make me feel less than, or, you know, I don't, it's more about like, oh, that's where I could be at some point, mm-hmm. you know, and like, good for them that they're doing that. And like, I know that I'm just doing more because everybody is trying and everybody's like together with it. So there is nothing like that communal experience of group yoga. Mm-hmm. And, I love that it's right here in the neighborhood.
And it's right there.
Yeah. So plans, once like construction finishes and mm-hmm. you have the hot yoga open back up, is there anything else on the horizon that that you're looking forward to?
So there used to be a fitness center in Baldwin Park. I think it used to be called Rock Hard Fitness. Yeah. So I think they closed down. And so that space is about 5,000 square feet. And Warrior One will be moving into Baldwin. About like a little less than a mile down the road.
Yeah.
And so, 5,000 square feet, our new hot studio can fit 200 mats with space in between, y'all. Like you'll be in your huge community as you've always been, but now there'll be space for you to open up your arms.
That's
so cool.
It has
this beautiful mural and it says, "The barn burnt down, but now we can see the moon." And it's just... It's a beautiful moon mural with a nice barn around it. And it's really representative of Warrior One. And it's like, just like you were saying, every time it shifts, we shift with it. And mm-hmm. so this hit, cool. You know, we'll hit back and we'll always come back. And I've heard, you know, 3012, that was my first Warrior One studio, but I've heard that every single time Kim has opened a new space that has been slightly bigger than the last, and it has always filled up. You know, the community comes and pours in at each and every time, and we're still remaining to be a teaching studio, and so that we still are running yoga teacher trainings, we're still running all of our classes, and the full spread of all of our classes will be back actually as soon as next week.
Wow. Surely,
nice. May 5th.
Yeah. What an exciting time. And just to see that progress, I mean, to have a business that, you know, outgrows spaces, moves around, like finds different ways. And like, I mean, I love that she got her start as an entrepreneur in Audubon Park.
Yes.
You know, and I like back when rents were a little bit less. It's like, you know, I was talking to A Gift for Teaching, which is a really great organization that brings school supplies to teachers in public schools in Central Florida. And, you know, they have such a great mission. They started in Audubon Park because it was affordable.
Oh, wow.
So they were just guests. And it's that sort of been the phenomenon of like, entrepreneurs have gotten their start here because mm-hmm. some of those barriers to entry that exist in other areas mm-hmm. are not there. And also we have such a great customer base between, you know, Winter Park being right there next door, Baldwin Park being next door. And so it's almost like an extension of Audubon Park, like these places.
It's like
that's the way we like to think of it.
It's how you get people in.
It's true. And then of course, like Orlando, I mean, we're part of Orlando, but you know, we're 10 minutes from downtown. And mm-hmm. so like all of this customer base, all of these people that can come and enjoy what we have here in Audubon Park, part of it is getting the word out. Part of it is just doing a good job at what you're doing.
Yeah.
And it really does reflect in the success of Warrior One. And that's so exciting to hear about the Baldwin Park space opening up. And I mean, it's so close to us.
So close.
It's basically unincorporated Audubon Park. Yeah. You know, that's the way.
It's the same military base.
It is the same. Yes, exactly. Yep. Yep.
Just bringing it closer together.
Totally. Totally. And I mean, part of the success of the foundation of this place, it's, you know, like you said, with the building, they could land helicopters on these buildings in case they needed to. I mean, it's wild to think about that now.
So wild.
It's, yeah, just so bizarre. And like Corinne Drive is as wide as it is because in case they needed to run tanks on it too. Yeah.
I'm learning something new every day.
Yes. So, you know, the foundation that was laid here served a purpose then, and it serves a different purpose now. Mm-hmm. But it's all part of it, right?
Protecting the community in a different way.
Yeah, totally.
In a very different way.
Totally. And with, you know, when Corinne Drive gets redone, there's a lot of space already built in for mixed modal transportation. So it doesn't have to be all cars. You've got space to put like actual mixed use paths.
Take the roads away. Let's do it.
I mean,
let's,
yeah,
convert.
We need some roads, obviously, but we need less, you know, we need more opportunities for bikes and pedestrians.
I went to the Netherlands once and I was like, this is, we got to figure it out back home.
I know. That's such a great example, isn't it?
Got to figure this out. There's no pollution here. This is a big city.
I know. I mean, they've got the waterways, they've got the bike paths that are separate from the footpaths, and like, yeah, it's just like you can get anywhere. I know.
We'll figure it out one day. We're climbing up the scale. Orlando is further along than Florida, which is
that's true
in most places. But
yeah, even just climbing. With the mentality, right?
Yeah,
yeah, it's true. It's true. Like there, progress does happen here. Mm-hmm. It often gets overlooked. And part of our mission, I think, is to broadcast some of that progress, mm-hmm. you know? So that's what we're doing today.
Yeah, it's not all lost, y'all.
It's not. It's not hopeless by any stretch. There's so much hope and there's so much opportunity mm-hmm. to bring positive change and to not get overwhelmed and, you know, just think about what your actions can yield and think about what you bring to your day.
Yeah.
You know?
And have a little fun.
Have a little fun.
Have
or
some
a lot
joy.
Of fun.
Yeah.
You know?
Or a
I
ton
mean,
of fun.
Yeah. Nobody's judging. Have as much fun as fun will allow.
Yeah. And if they are judging, don't let you be the one judge you.
That's right. Don't let it stop you. So let's talk about kind of the different levels. So there's like a monthly and a yearly membership, and you can pay per class. So how do you kind of approach that with people? Like, do you recommend they try it out and mm-hmm. then figure out like what they want to do from there?
Yeah. So if you're brand new to the studio, we always have $49 for 30 days, something like that, where it's unlimited everything. So all classes, you can go to 5 classes a day if you want.
You really get to try it out
really
and figure out your patterns.
Out. Yeah, see if you like it. That's definitely, you know, I like to joke around that I'm biased. I did the 40-day once and then now I work here.
It's an easy sell, right?
Easy sell. Yeah. Like I feel good. I meet nice people. And then from there, we obviously offer drop-ins, which is your, you know, standard $18 to $19 to come into the studio. And then from there, we highly recommend the monthly pricing. So we have the fully unlimited 108. 108 is one of the sacred yoga numbers. And so we try to keep everything at 108.
Totally.
And it's really nice because what I learned for myself is I get to exchange something I value, right? Like currency. Mm-hmm. And in exchange, I almost hold myself accountable for it. And I really noticed that because like I shared with you, growing up just without a lot of money, $108 is a lot to convince myself. Like, hey,
we all have our budgets,
month.
Right?
I'm like, I don't know about this.
Yeah. How does this fit into my budget? Can I responsibly fit this into my budget?
Could I do this? And when I realized, like, you know, by kind of moving some things around, I could, it became the catalyst for so much change in my life. Mm-hmm. And so it helped me hold myself accountable. As it's like, oh, well, that little amount, leave my account, so I better go at a minimum.
Sure.
You know, go to 3 or 4 classes.
And absolutely.
So it, and what I really like about the unlimited is that you can bring your friends, because there's like guest passes that we give you. And even if you run out of guest passes, you're like, can I bring another friend? We're like, of course. You know,
that's
like
so
we
smart.
want to share the love of yoga. It's not like a, it's not a rigid practice. It'd be not. It wouldn't be yoga if it was.
That's right. Totally.
Be something else.
Yeah.
Like boot camp.
It's so true. Yeah. Finding a friend to go with you, mm-hmm. and then you can motivate each other to go.
Makes it less scary.
Yeah. It's like we can budget one way or budget another way, and it's like this is being proactive with your health budget, mm-hmm. right? It's like you got to think about injuries that can happen from doing work around the house, like just like stretching out your back, getting all of these things
alone.
Like stronger, you know, like the benefits just go on from there. And it's like, you'll have more energy.
Yeah.
You can get more stuff done. Like think about it that way. Like that's an investment in the use of your time, mm-hmm. and the, you know, what you'll be able to do with that energy.
Exactly.
You know, so that it becomes an easier sales pitch for yourself to be like, oh, I do need to put this in the budget.
Yeah,
like,
I do can want to value and I will. This. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And like I mentioned earlier, like I grew up very not healthy, and within a few weeks, like it wasn't even like, oh, like a year later, 2 years later. No, within a few weeks, I noticed like strange things were so much easier, like getting up, like literally standing up, getting up from like sitting on the floor. I remember like I used to like brace myself with both my hands. I was young. I was 19. I was like 18, 19 years old. And I'm already like,
when we're at our most resilient,
holding my back and trying to get up. And within a few weeks, like I also really like to go to music festivals. So I had two very different experiences of, you know, music festivals before I was able to use my body, music festivals after. And I would get so tired before and so drained and cranky and being like, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm too old for this at 19. You know, like stretching.
Something that should just be purely enjoyable, right?
I'm like, this is too much.
Well.
And then shifting to being able to run around for hours with all of my friends just because I had the energy, and even small things like, you know, shaving my legs in the shower, I had energy for. It was something I hated from like the moment I turned a teenager until my 20s. And I was like, oh. It was actually kind of fun. It's like, it's another way to do yoga. And so it took all these things in my life that before were so mundane or just like boring, and it brought the joy and love into it. I'm like, ooh, can I try to get up with one leg and no hands? It's like, you could also just get up normally, Kayla, but yes, go ahead and see what happens.
That's
your inner child play.
That is the shift, right? There's the mentality of like these things that were mundane or you didn't have an appreciation for, mm-hmm. and even just getting up off the floor. It's like,
But also the big things. You know?
It is.
It's a big thing to get up off the floor.
it actually really is. Yeah. I mean, we know that from experience. Like we've gone through health struggles, my wife and I, like different paths on that. But, you know, she had a lot of limitations that she was able to get past. And you wouldn't know that she had those limitations now because she's doing so well. And like, yeah, between physical therapy and medical intervention, like, you know, got her thing under control and stabilized. And not everybody has that experience in their lifetime, but it is really profoundly knowledge giving.
Yes.
Just knowing that like, oh shoot, this is kind of what is in our future too, sometimes, a lot of times when we get older.
Mm-hmm.
Like we're going to have less limitation or more limitations, less abilities. But I think that even the investment of yoga long term, it's like you see some really healthy older people in yoga classes and you're like, I want to look like that when I'm 70, 80.
Yeah.
Like it's wild. I mean, what the human body is capable of if you treat it well, you know, and you
see
listen.
See Gwen Stefani at Coachella? I can't believe she still looks like that.
I know.
I'm sure yoga's involved. I don't have proof, but I'm sure yoga is involved in that.
Or yoga adjacent. Yeah,
there's something going on.
Yeah, Pilates maybe?
Maybe.
Maybe all of it. Yeah, probably all of it.
All of the above.
Yeah, that doesn't just happen. So you got to put a little time and effort in. Mm-hmm. But I mean,
And it goes back to the self-love thing that you were saying earlier. It's just evidence that you love yourself.
Right.
And that you're willing to put in the work for yourself.
Yeah, it stands out, doesn't it? It's like you see it in other people, and it's like one of the most attractive things there is too. I mean, it's one of those things, like, you know, for any of the single folk out there, it's like that self-love is one of the first things that people look for. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I mean, a healthy person, and that's who you want to attract.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And anyone who's turned off by your self-love, run away.
Yes. Yes, it's not a threat. Mm-hmm. It should not be threatening to somebody, and they're on their own path if it is. Mm-hmm. You know, they need to learn that, to Absolutely. Find that in themselves, and then, you know, they might be compatible. But yeah, I mean, it starts with self-love.
It does.
You have to have that
Everything
ability.
Starts from the self, I love to say. Like, you know, how I feel about myself is actually, you know, and it ends up being what I think other people feel towards me. Like, oh, he thinks I'm an idiot. Well, unless he said, hey, Kayla, you're an idiot. You might not have any evidence to back that up. You know, maybe it might be what you think about yourself. And that was a big unlock for me. Like, all of the problems I was making in my life, not that they weren't there, not that people weren't being, you know, rude to me or mean to me or, you know, fill in the blank to me at certain stages of my life. And to the degree that I let them win, come on.
Yeah.
That's not fun.
Yeah.
You know, I can't walk around not loving myself just because I think other people don't like me. Like, no, one, where did that story come from?
Right.
Two, am I doing things to better myself? Yes. Am I worthy of love? Yes. Okay, great. That's the criteria. Keep it moving.
Yeah, totally. And it is. I mean, it's amazing how those things can be very self-fulfilling prophecies when you're like, oh, this is going to be bad. It's like, then when it is, you're like, see, I was right.
See, I told you.
Yeah, that's the worst I told you so you could possibly do. I mean, they're all pretty bad. There should never be I told you so's. But I mean, it does feel good to be right about stuff. But when it comes to that, it's like, no, that don't be right about that.
Like, I don't want to be right about that.
No.
I would love to be wrong about that.
Yeah. And you know, to use your example of like when, you know, a bad day at yoga is, that's a lesson in itself. It's like, you know why it was. And it's like, it was purely you, you know, and you learn how to not get in your own way, and you learn how to embrace.
Yeah. Water.
Yeah.
Breathe.
Yeah. Like listen to yourself. Yeah. Right.
And don't beat yourself up.
No.
All the things.
I know. Yeah. This has really been like a therapy session. This is like, I love this. A lot of times it is, I mean, it always feels therapeutic talking to people.
It's cathartic to be able to just, you know, be a human once again, a human being.
Yeah. And just to share your thoughts on it and to hear other people's thoughts on it. And, you know, just especially good people. Like, I just knew instantly. I mean, even when we were messaging each other, I'm like, this is a really good person. Like, I'm very excited to talk to her. And now we know each other.
Yeah, no, you know, and special thanks to Erin Turner. She's a big advocate of mine, and she's how I ended up getting connected with you. And
that's awesome.
Just she's amazing, and
I
love this community so much.
Yeah, and the community loves you, you know, and that's the thing. It's like it's such a good exchange. Mm-hmm. That's the barter. Love barter.
It's the love barter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kindness is a payment.
Yeah. And I mean, it just kind of reproduces from there too.
Yeah.
You know, it's not something that's finite. That's the thing that people think about love. It's like, there's only so much love. It's like, no, mm-mm. No, you'll find that the more love you give, the more love there is.
Yes.
And the more love that comes back. And then it's just like your whole house is filled with love.
It just goes forever. Yeah. And that's what I learned about becoming a yoga teacher as well. I had never done anything in my life that after exerting so much energy, I felt so. Like, I'm like, don't pay me. Like, come on, I'm just happy to be here. Like, it's just, it feels so good to be the person to hold the container, that it's valuable in and of itself. I'm just like, I could do this infinitely just because it always refills me every single time. And they're happy and I'm happy and they feel better. That used to be my mantra when I first started teaching, because I was super nervous. And I would always tell myself, like, yoga always feels good. Yeah. The poses always feel good. Yeah. All you have to do is create a space for them to do some poses and to feel good about themselves. And I was like, oh, okay, I can do that. I can handle that. And it's true. It always feels good and it always refills me. And it just makes me, it keeps them. I feel like those little energizer bunnies, like I can just keep going just because of the community is there.
Totally. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is amazing. Like if you've not felt that energy after a yoga session, it's like, I mean, it's so addictive. It's mm-hmm. in the best way.
You're just like healing you. You could feel anytime you feel that tingly after mm-hmm. any class, any fitness, that's your body healing itself. And so you can almost even get like, oh no, I did it.
Yeah.
I feel it. All right. It's fixing me. I can go off on my day and my cells are gonna work to restore my joints and my muscles, and it's amazing.
It's an investment in your own future too, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it really is like, how do I want the rest of my life to be? How do I want my elderly years to be? Yeah. You know, like what's possible? And what's there's possible a lot now that's possible.
Yeah.
Yeah. We just have to start someday.
Just start.
Why not today?
Yeah, why not today?
So the website for Warrior One, or where do you direct people?
So you can normally find us through Instagram or our website. We are Warrior One. And then if you are in the Winter Garden area, please go check out Julie's studio, the Warrior One Winter Garden. So it'd be We Are Warrior One, WGW. Both amazing studios. And then if you're really out there in Dunedin area, we have a studio out there as well. So three primary locations. And you can always message us. Our phone number is on the page. You can text us directly. Goes to one of us, nice. Either Kim or Danielle, whoever's available in the moment. And so we want to be there for you, and mm-hmm. we want to create a space where you feel good. And if you have come to a class and maybe it was a little too full, let us know. We have emptier classes, and we want to provide an experience that makes you feel good. It is at the end of the day about you, because you're a part of the community.
Totally. Yeah. And for like air safety and things, do you have like purifiers and things like that? Mm-hmm. How does that work?
Yeah, we purify the air. We always clean out the floors every single time, obviously.
Yeah. But these are good things for people to know.
Yeah, you know? Good for people to know. And then mm-hmm. All of the, I've talked a lot about how we touch you at the studio and know that that is an opt-in only, you know?
Yeah.
You only get touched if you want to get touched. And we make that very clear at the beginning of class. And it's never correction. It's always a love massage, a head rub, a shoulder massage. If we notice you look tired, we'll bring you something to lay on so you can just take a nap in the middle of class. Yeah. You know, and as we open up the new studio, I know that a lot of it's some of what people love, and some people are like, oh my God, there's too many people here. Mm-hmm. So our goal with having such a big space is that we'll be able to have the same capacity classes that we always had, you know, our 67 people classes that we love, and provide you with space so that you do feel like you can, you know, maybe walk out of the room if you need to, or take a breath and just, you know, just be. So know that a new big space is coming.
That's so awesome. With the pandemic and COVID, like how people think about public spaces and mm-hmm. breathing a lot like the recycled air and that sort of thing of just like, is this safe for me? We're thinking about things that we've not thought about previously. Yeah. So when you're doing something healthy for you, it's important that you understand and believe and know that it is truly healthy and safe and those sorts of things. And do you like advise people, you know, if you're not feeling well, please stay home and things like that? Yeah.
Exactly.
Just having air purifiers. I mean, that's how, you know, for a while I was doing the podcast outside because I was like, mm-hmm. I don't know if we can have people indoors.
Right.
And,
yeah.
You know, you adjust and adapt, and that's like kind of how we do things now. And there are ways of safely doing it still. Mm-hmm. And, all the reasons to do it too.
All the reasons to keep doing it. Yeah, we always like to purify the air, dehumidify after classes, cleanly heat the room after each class. And mm-hmm. we also try to make sure any like strong pungent smells like incense, like do not happen while students will be around. So we'll do those early in the morning or late at night. But mm-hmm. you know, if you have any sensitivity to smell or anything like that, we usually try to, there's a strong no perfume, no sprays rule at the studio. So if those are things that bother you, we want to create a space that is welcoming for all. And for students that do like more of the cozier time. I know I'm a hot power teacher. I've been talking a lot about hot power in this hour. And, you know, we have so many cool classes, so many teachers that are so well skilled at healing your body. And so if being in like a super fast, powerful power class is intimidating, which it is an intimidating thing to do, I totally hear you. We have a ton of cool flow classes and we have yin yoga classes, and those are designed to hold less people in the room. So if being, you know, mat to mat with someone isn't your jam, you're not alone. So we have space for you too.
That's perfect. And yeah, like some of the early morning classes, mm-hmm. right, can be less of attendance for those.
Half hot power, half deep stretch, y'all. If you haven't done that yet, there's a woman named Margaret on the schedule. Go check her out.
Yeah.
No, our teachers are truly phenomenal. Like, and even as someone who works there, I have a hard time going to other studios just because I feel so much love from every single one of the teachers that's there. That's like, oh, I could do this all day.
It makes all the difference, right?
It does.
Yeah. I mean, when you have a team, when you have a whole staff of people that are doing awesome work, like this whole group of teachers, and mm-hmm. I mean,
we're all so different from each other.
Yeah. We all bring something different to it. But mm-hmm. yeah, it's like the foundation is there. The instruction, like learning at the studio that you're teaching at, mm-hmm. that's a really cool thing.
Yeah. I love that. Have all the muscles on the wall and all the, like, even as you're as a student, you can learn so much about yoga just by reading the walls. It's because that's what the whole thing is for. It's about to empower you to lead your life, to lead your community, to lead a class. It's all the same thing.
Yeah. It starts with kind of the right information, the right guidance, mm-hmm. and the right atmosphere, right? Mm-hmm. It has to be something that you're drawn to.
There was a quote I heard. I'll probably butcher it, but it reminds me of that. It's like when a student is ready, a teacher appears.
Mm.
It's that.
I love that.
I love that quote. I was like, I have sticky notes all over my desk with my inspirational quotes. And I was like, oh, that one's going in black Sharpie. That's a good one.
Yes. It's so true too, isn't it?
It's been true so many times in my life. Like once with acceptance or that willingness we were talking about earlier, once I was open and willing to learn, the teacher showed up. You know, the situation showed up. And I think it's just such a great lesson of life to be like, oh, yeah, when I'm ready, it'll come.
Yeah.
If I allow it, it will come.
It does.
Even the studio, we wanted to open a bigger one for a long time, but we love the area. Like you were saying, the rents were good. Mm-hmm. And, you know, me and Kim laugh about this because she's like, stop manifesting stuff. But the the last class I taught was on February 14th. It was the day of the crash. I taught the last power class. There was a yin class after mine. And I wrote in my notebook, invite things to shatter so there is room to grow.
Wow.
And I ended up not teaching. I remember it was a really weird day. It was like in general, like the moon was doing stuff. It was darker than normal. The time hadn't changed yet. It was like the darkest it could be for a 6 p.m. class. And normally we pack on Wednesday night, 6 p.m. It's Danielle's like basically like her class. It's been her class for like 10 years. It's like such a big flagship class for us. So there's usually like 60 or 70 people in there. And for whatever reason, it was like 14 people in there, and there was like stuff going around in town, and that I remember being like, oh, that's a weird, this is a little strange.
Yeah.
I remember wanting to teach to this theme that I had written down around like, and it was a homework assignment that Danielle had actually given to me. She was like, oh, I want you to really speak to the Shiva, like, you know, destruction and rebuilding. And I was like, okay, cool, I'm excited, you know, and I wrote out all this stuff. And the fact that that was my theme and I couldn't get it out of my mouth that day, I ended up teaching to something completely different. And then that happened, you know, just a few hours, like 4 hours later. The next day I went to open my notebook and I was like, that says invite things to and I used the word shatter, which is not a word I use often.
No.
Like I literally wrote down invite things to shatter, underline shatter. So that there is space for something to grow. And I was like, that's why Kim was like, oh, thanks, Kayla. Like, thanks for that one. And I was like, I'm sorry. I was just doing my homework. And it ended up being the catalyst to what I'm, you know, we were, obviously the crash was terrible and we felt so bad. And I remember telling both Kim and Danielle, like, I'm so sorry. this is happening. And Danielle at the time, she was like, I can't explain it. This is probably the best thing that has ever happened to us because everyone came together to just be here for Warrior One. And I was like, oh, it's a nice way to look at it.
Yeah, because I mean, there's many ways to look at that sort of thing, right? It's like, it's
you could look at it as evidence that you don't belong here. You can look at it as evidence that it's okay, time to grow.
yeah. It's kind of what you do, how you react to things, changes the things, and yeah, I mean, what strange coincidences that
there's too many. That's like, it's getting to be ridiculous at this point. I'm like, okay, I get it.
But it's, again, it's like that energy that we bring and the ideas that we bring to things. Like, we don't always realize the impacts and the outcomes that we have sort of had a hand in, even if not directly. It's just with our thoughts and our, you know, being present and like bringing that good energy. Like, you got to keep doing that. You got to keep showing up and put yourself out there. Things won't happen if you don't put yourself out there.
Absolutely.
You know, that's one thing you can be certain of.
Exactly. Don't prove yourself right.
No. I mean, that's not a life well lived. You have to get out there, put yourself out there and be part of something.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Kayla, this has been amazing. Thank you so very much.
Of course. Yes, I've had so much fun.
Yeah. Are there any other ways that people can help or get involved? Or do you do outside classes sometimes too for the people that want to be outside?
Yeah. So Margaret, I think I mentioned her earlier, she has a couple of outside classes on the schedule. We usually, there's a couple parks right around in the Audubon area that we'll post where we're teaching at. So that's always an option.
Okay.
We have free community classes every Saturday. 12:15 and 1:15. So one's a flow class, air conditioned, promise, not heated. One's a flow class. And then just 10 minutes after that, we have a yin class. So if you haven't tried Warrior One and you want to try yoga, definitely come to our community classes. They're free. They're intros. And what's really fun about them, this is why I love them so much, is they're all taught by teachers learning to be teachers. And cool. So we usually have like a main support teacher that's been doing it for a while and three or four accessory teachers. And you can always come volunteer at Warrior One. We're always looking for volunteers. Every single desk person that you see there, every single person that you see folding laundry, they're volunteering and they're there simply because they love Warrior One. And we love to, you know, give back to the people who volunteer by giving memberships or reducing membership costs. It's, you know, money is not the only way to do yoga. You know, you can multiple currencies, you can exchange time, you can exchange love, you can, you know, ask if you want to sell your product in our lobby. Like, there's so many ways to collaborate with Warrior One, especially now we'll have a bigger lobby.
Yeah.
More shelf space for y'all.
the opportunities just continue to grow, right? Yeah. And how long ago did Warrior One open? I don't remember.
So we're now in our 11th year.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. Congratulations.
Yeah. And I got feedback from someone recently, an older woman who's a part of the Audubon community, and she said she was so excited when Warrior One opened up. And she said before Warrior One, there was actually multiple yoga studios here, and they all would stay open for about 6 months. I was like, oh, I had no idea. And she's like, the fact that y'all have been able to stay open for 10 years is just such a testament to Warrior One. It's like, it feels so good to be a part of something that so many people love and talk about. And I've met people in different states and different countries that are like, yeah, I've been to Warrior One. I'm like, how? How did I just bump into you?
Wow.
I heard a story about a bunch of girls that moved up to Colorado and at all different points and started working at the same studio. They were all from Warrior One.
Wow.
I'm like, how lucky.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. I mean, the ripple effect, right? Mm-hmm. Just like spreading out into the world, like so many things.
We're everywhere.
Yeah. That's so cool. And three locations in Florida, soon to be four. Mm-hmm. And like, what a story.
Mm-hmm.
It's so cool to get this out there and for people to learn about it and why it's so special. And I mean, it's just, it's something that so many people celebrate, and now other people can know that it's something to be celebrated and
to participate in.
Participate. Yeah. Come play. Come play. Totally. And do it out of love. Don't do it out of guilt.
Don't do it because you think you should. Don't should all over yourself.
Don't should. Should happens also. Yeah. Right? Yes. Shift and should.
Shift and should.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Man, this has been so informative. Kayla, again, thank you so much for your time. Thank you for everything that you do in the community.
Thank you for the invitation.
Oh, totally. I look forward to seeing you around the neighborhood.
Yeah, I'll be here.
Awesome. This episode is brought to you in part by the Audubon Park Community Market. Join us every Monday from 5 to 8 p.m., rain or shine, in the parking lot of Stardust Video and Coffee located at 1842 East Winter Park Road. This weekly gathering of makers, farmers, gardeners, fishmongers, ranchers, craftsmen, artisans, entrepreneurs, neighbors, and friends brings the very best of Central Florida to you every week. Our theme song is by Christopher Pierce, and special thanks to Trey Hester for all of his help in making this podcast a reality. We do hope you enjoyed this episode. If so, please click subscribe and leave a review if you'd like. We'll see you next time.